Our reading is from the Epistle of James, which you will find on page 1214 in the Church Bible. It's at the very end of chapter 1. James 1, verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. For those who might not know, my name is Chris. I'm the children's and youth minister here at Emmanuel. And today, as you've realized, is Adoption Sunday. Thank you for reading, Pam. Today we'll actually be looking at three passages, and the passage that Pam read is actually the middle one. So make sure you keep your hand there, and if you have a couple extra fingers, you're going to be keeping three different passages today. The sermon will be a little bit different to most sermons preached here at Emmanuel, because today I'm going to be preaching a topical sermon. A topical sermon basically means a sermon that's based on a topic rather than a passage. And while topical sermons are very helpful and very good, I need to warn you that it is an easier method for a minister to preach out of context. It's an easy way to manipulate scripture. And so I encourage you, whenever you hear someone teach a topical sermon, myself included, that you listen carefully and to check on the text that they use to ensure that they preach in the context of the book that the text comes from. Make sure that the entire message is preached in the context of the scripture, and every verse is not out of context from the book that it's taken from. So I do encourage you, whenever you do hear a topical sermon, that you take heed of that. That it's a lot easier to be led astray through these types of sermons. But they are good, and they have their place in churches. Although this Sunday is about Adoption Sunday, my theme will actually include all vulnerable people who need our help. According to the Royal College of Nursing, all children are considered vulnerable by virtue of their age, immaturity. But what about adults? What adults would we consider vulnerable? Adults are considered vulnerable if they are permanently or temporarily unable to care for themselves and their interests, either through a mental or a physical cause. Vulnerable adults are open to risks of psychological and physical harm or being exploited by other people's benefits. I bring those two definitions up because we want to consider, in the biblical context, who would be considered vulnerable. In the Bible, God created many different laws to care for vulnerable people. As we read through the books of laws in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, we see time and time again how God set in place rules for widows and orphans. And the reason I bring up widows and orphans, because in the context of the Bible, we know that women were not allowed to own land. Yet because God cared for the vulnerable, in some cases, he actually changed that rule to allow women to own land if there were no men available, as in the case of Zelophehad's daughters. And I really appreciate this, and so I'm going to read it to you. The law was created in Numbers 27. If it's a little bit small, I will read it out loud. Say to the Israelites, if a man dies and leaves no son, give his inheritance to his daughters. If he has no daughter, and this one goes back to the men, give it to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father had no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan. That would be male relative. that he may possess it. This is to be a legal requirement for the Israelites, as the Lord commanded Moses. It is interesting that this law was created because there was people who were not married, yet their fathers had died in the Exodus. And so God created this law to care for women who did not have land. We see another law enacted in the book of Ruth in the kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer is a male relative who, according to the various laws of the Pentateuch, had the privilege or responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble or in danger or in need. And so in the book of Ruth, we see how her and her mother Naomi come back to the land after their husbands had passed away. They are living on the land, on the leftovers of the harvest, what's called the gleanings. And they are basically destitute. They have no land, they have no food, they have no ability to create food. And so Boaz takes them under his shoulder. He provides for them, he makes sure there's food left over for them, and then he wants to marry Ruth. But in order to do that, he has to make sure there isn't someone who is a closer redeemer than himself. And he goes to that person, makes a deal with them, they change shoes, and he becomes the kinsman redeemer. He then cares for this woman. In all of this, we see that God cares for vulnerable people. And so he created laws to create a society for Jewish people to follow. And so this morning, we're going to look at some texts in the Bible to see what society, specifically Jewish society and the UK society, religion and the gospel teach us about vulnerable people. So first of all, society teaches us to care for vulnerable people. In our first main passage today, we'll look at the book of John, chapter 19, verse 25 to 27. So if you have your Bibles open, it's in page 1088, John 19, 25 to 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time onwards, the disciple took her into his home. This passage looks at Jesus' final moments on earth. He was on the cross, he was going to die, and he looks down and sees his mom. We presume that Joseph, Mary's husband, had passed away by this time. She was a widow. We also know that Jesus had other brothers and sisters, from Mark chapter 6, verse 3. But for some reason, Jesus wanted the disciple whom he loved to look after her. We presume, as you read the book of John, that John was that disciple. John was one of Jesus' closest friends. He was one of the chosen three, Peter, James, and John. And interestingly enough, John was the only disciple not to be martyred. Jesus looked at John and he said, "Look after my mom. Care for her. Become her kinsman redeemer, even though you're not related to her." Jesus cared for the vulnerable. Mahatma Gandhi said that the true measure of any society can be found in how it treats its most vulnerable members. The UK society teaches us that we should love the vulnerable. We have laws put in place and budgets and finances allocated to care for those who are vulnerable. Do we do enough? Are we like Jesus, who are supporting those who need our support? Are we caring for people? Are we loving those who, through no fault of their own, come to a position of vulnerability? Do we follow society's care? Or do we just love those who religion tells us to care for? We look at our second point. As we think about the reading that Pam read earlier, we know that society teaches us to care for vulnerable people, but true religion also teaches us to care for vulnerable people. James chapter 1, 26, 27, you heard earlier, says, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless." Religion that God our Father accepts is pure and faultless. It's this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Religion teaches us many things. And James is saying true religion involves three very specific things. It involves self-control, having a tight rein on your tongue. It involves caring for others who are vulnerable, looking after orphans and widows in their distress. And it involves a clean life, not being polluted by the world. Notice, as you read this passage, this is not talking about Christianity. This is talking about religion. And what is religion? Religion is people doing something to please God. Religion is doing things that would make God happy. And so here, James, we are learning that true religion is doing something that doesn't help you at all. True religion is controlling yourself, caring for others, and not being polluted by the world. This verse could have come from Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28 to 29, which says, "At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites," first people, "the Levites have no allotments or inheritance of their own, and the aliens," people who were not Jewish, were not allowed to own land, "the fatherless," orphans, "and the widows," again, people who could not own land, "who live in your towns, may come and eat and be satisfied, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." Jewish people in the Bible were pastoral. They kept crops and fields and animals. A man was known to be wealthy if he had many sheep and camels and donkeys, and if he had lots of land and vineyards. Here, religion teaches us to bring our tithes at the end of every 3 years, not just to the temple and to the priests, but also to people who are vulnerable, people who have no land of their own. That tithe means a tenth of your produce. And so every 3 years, the Jewish people had to take one tenth of everything that came out of their fields and separate it for priests who weren't allowed to own land and other people who could not own land. God set in place a religion that involved caring for vulnerable people. Most religions will teach you that what you sow, you will reap. If you do good to other people, then good will be done to you. But what about the gospel? What is it about the gospel that we believe that is different to religion? Jesus went about preaching the kingdom of heaven, not what we can do for God, but what God will do for us. Nowhere in the Bible is being a Christian about a religion, about doing what we can for God. It's all about a new life. It's all about the fact that we actually can't do good. We can't do things to please God. All of our righteous acts are as filthy rags before God. Which leads me to my third point. We know that society teaches us to care for all the vulnerable people. We know that true religion teaches us to care for vulnerable people. But then the gospel teaches us that in actual fact we are unable to care for ourselves because we are vulnerable people. And so God chooses to adopt us. Look at our final passage, our final main passage in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 8, page 1170. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. This was obviously written to Christians. And this is one of the most amazing truths we can know about God from God's word. Each of us, before we were Christians, were vulnerable people. Each of us were part of a family that was not God's family. The Bible teaches us there are two families in the world, the family of God and the family of the devil. And if you're not in the family of God, you have a father who wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. That is the life of so many destitute people, so many foster kids. They come from a family that does things to steal, kill, and destroy them. And we, spiritually, were in that same place. We were slaves. And God says, no longer shall you be called slaves. I will take you out of that family. I will adopt you and put you into my family. You will not long, you'll no longer be a slave, but you'll become an heir. An heir to all the greatness that God has for us. Each of us can try and be good. Each of us can try and be religious. But over and over again, we will fail because we are inherently bad. Inside of us, we choose to do wrong. As much as society and religion want us to do good, we fail time and time again. Because until we're part of God's family, we follow the example of our Father. But once we choose to change our lives, once we choose to say, I no longer want to be that vulnerable person, God chooses to adopt us into his family. He makes us his very own. He takes us from a place where the world is putting us down and puts us in a place of authority, a royal home. Our responsibility is that we need to die to that nature. The way adoption works with God is that we die and be reborn into that family, becoming adopted into his family. Earlier in the book of Galatians, Paul said in chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, for through the law I died to the law that I might live for Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. But I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was saying here, in order to become part of God's family, he had to die. He had to put away things that were religious. And we know that Paul was very religious. He had to put away things that society told him about himself. And he was from one of the great families in society. He put those to death and became part of God's family. God wants the same thing for us. He wants us to be part of his family. He wants to adopt us, to change us. In fact, adoption into God's family is very expensive. The price for our adoption, the price for us to be part of that family, was that Jesus, God's only Son, had to die on the cross. Jesus, who was the only person born who was not inherently evil. Jesus, the only person born on this earth who did not do anything wrong, had to pay the price of his life on the cross so that we can be part of his family, the family of God. And so we realize that although society teaches us to care for vulnerable people, and we see the example of Jesus doing that, and the example of the law over and over again telling us how important it is to care for vulnerable people, we know that true religion teaches us to care for vulnerable people. And that's a true religion that actually pleases God, doing something that brings God happiness. The truth is that the gospel teaches us that we are unable to care for ourselves. We are the vulnerable people. We are those who need God's love. And if you recognize that, if you are a Christian today who's recognized that you are part of God's family, that you've been adopted there, then realize that what God has done for you, you can do for others. Whether it be caring and supporting families who have adopted or those who are fostering, whether it means actually adopting and fostering yourself, whether it means praying and spending time thinking about them and doing something for them. As the video said earlier, just doing a load of laundry. Doing something to help those who are going through difficult things. There is a card at the back that looks like this on the back sheet, on the back table. And on the back of the card, there are days every day of the week suggesting how you can pray, how you can be involved, how you can care for those who are vulnerable, specifically orphans. But in our church, there are many others who are vulnerable. Spend time going through what God has called you to do, what God has done for you. In that video that we watched, there was a little girl named Alyssa who was in the foster system. Her greatest desire was for a forever family. Her forever family would look after her and her brothers, maybe have a trampoline. But the sad thing is that her forever family would possibly only be a family for while they were on earth. God invites each and every one of us to be part of his forever family. A family that is truly forever. One that not even death will separate us from. While we are here on earth, we can help Christians like Alyssa. As Christians, we can pray for them. We can support them. We can maybe foster or adopt. But there will come a day when this world will be no more. And then I'll ask you, which family will you be in? Will you be in the family of God or in the family of the devil? Joshua said in his final words to the people of Israel, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Father, as we bow before you, we are so thankful that you have made a way out for us of this wicked family. and allow us to join your family, the family of God. Help us to come to the place where we choose to accept you. We choose to accept that adoption. We choose to walk in your family. Help us to care for those who are not in that family, or not even in an earthly family, or those who are going through vulnerable situations. Help us to serve. Help us to give. Help us to love like Jesus came, loved, and served. In Jesus' name, amen.